So, hi everybody, I'm here to talk about my NixOS powered home lab. I was in a really large auditorium and I was like, wow, I did not think that this many people were going to be interested in Nix, but there's actually a lot of people here too, so this is awesome. Okay, so first I want to talk about my path to NixOS, because I probably took like a difficult path, and I'll go through this part quickly so we can talk about the interesting stuff with what time I have left. I think probably a lot of people start with Nix and NixOS, probably with like a Nix shell, because you are dealing with package dependencies, like conflict dependencies in your dependencies. I ran into that. Home Manager, if you're trying to like consolidate your .dot files, maybe is another popular entry point into the Nix ecosystem. I don't really have opinions about Flakes, but I like didn't do this, right? Like maybe, this is something I actually do a lot now, because I work at a company that does ClickHouse stuff, as Natalia was probably telling you about. So maybe it was all the time now, but on my first day with Nix, I was like, no, I need to solve like all of these problems all at once. And yeah, if you want to hear more about ClickHouse, I'm going to talk about that later. So the question I was struggling with is like, I want templated VMs for my home lab, and I don't want to have to store multi-gigabyte images for all of these templates that I have, and I want to be able to have a lot of them, and I want to be able to version them and write, like, use text-based definitions like I'm used to with like a Docker file or a Docker Compose or something like that. I wanted to share parameters between different VMs and also between the different layers of my VMs, right? Like, there's some information in my workloads, and I was using Ansible to configure Prometheus to monitor my hosts. But maybe I wanted some information about like what ports were exposed by those workloads or which ones were running in Docker and maybe had CAdvisor, and I wanted to get that information into my Prometheus config. And with Ansible, that was just kind of way too much work, right? It was very difficult. So I came across NixOS as sort of the solution and a way that let me define my VM images using something similar to a Docker file. And the other challenge with Ansible, right, is like keeping track of like what have I actually applied to each different VM, right? Like you have these plays and they're not as reproducible as we would like, right? Because they're dealing with the state on the target host and there's just all of these things, right, that make Ansible kind of difficult. And Terraform doesn't really fit like a home lab context, right? Like that's for provisioning infrastructure, not for configuring hosts. So why NixOS? It forced me to use GitOps. It was self-documenting, right? The NixOS configuration is self-documenting. And it was portable and reproducible, like much more so than a multi-gigabyte image. And it was using familiar tools under the hood, right? Like I could see that I could use OCI containers. I could use systemd services. So these are things that I'm familiar with, and it was just a nice declarative way to interact with them. And why do I love Nix? Well, like I mentioned, right, it's one language. I have one object tree for everything. So anything that's a parameter anywhere, I can use it somewhere else, no matter what part of the layer, what part of the stack it's in. I love functional languages, so Nix just kind of made sense to me. I don't think that's true for everyone, right? Like, I think some people just kind of think in that way, where you look at a pure function and it makes sense, and some people are like, no, I want more state. And then finally, the Nix module system is probably my absolute favorite thing in Nix. So for those of you who are not familiar with it, right, like Nix modules is what's used in Home Manager and NixOS, and it's probably when you've written your own, like you've probably maybe written your own modules maybe without even knowing it, but what I love about it is how it lets you override things, right? So every other configuration tool that I've used, whether it's like Helm or Ansible or what have you, right, when you're trying to make versions of things or like make an instance of a templated thing, you always end up in this challenging situation where it's like, I can't override the specific thing that I need to override without going up to the thing that I'm like depending on. And, or if you do want to override things, you end up having to be really, really verbose. It's like, I'm going to override this file, this config file, so I actually need to recreate the whole thing, even though I only wanted to change one value in it. Or you have to use, like, in Kubernetes, you use something like customize to do that, right? So it's like, it's challenging. Nix modules is awesome because it all just gets merged, right? Like it's a tree of configuration options that all gets merged at the end. So you can override anything anywhere, and you can specifically override just the thing that you need to override. Okay, so I'm going to quickly talk about how we use NixOS generators to create VM images. I'm going to talk about some of the NixOS configuration that specifically is useful for VMs. I'm going to talk about how I use Nix Flake to manage multiple hosts, where I can just drop a new config into a folder and then apply it. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about just like how I manage my workloads and services, maybe it'll give you some ideas. Yeah. So, okay. NixOS generators. So, is anyone here familiar with this command, NixOS generate? Yeah, okay. So you can give it a target format. Here I'm using Proxmox. Actually, the output of this is going to be a Proxmox backup file that you upload to the, there's a directory that Proxmox expects its backups to be in. It's like var vz something. So you SDP the output of this, which is going to be symlinked in the folder that you run this command in and also in your Nix store. And you get this image that you can then restore a backup from. And you can use really any complete configuration.nix to do that. So I have kind of a base template that I use, and most of all it has is like it enables remote updates, which we'll go through, and it has my SSH key for my default user. And then I can provision as many VMs as I want using that image, and then use NixOS rebuild and target host to update those with the specific configuration that they need for whatever that VM is supposed to do. So let's talk about the VM specific configuration. Everyone familiar with modules path? Anyone who's not, modules path is a special variable that you get in a NixOS configuration that points to the actual path that, like, in Nix packages where all of the modules are. So if you look at that Git repo in Nix package, right, and if you look at the Nix packages Git repo, go to the modules directory, and then go to the profiles directory, you'll see there's actually a bunch of different profiles for different situations. Like there's an LXC profile, there's, I think, an ESXi one. And since Proxmox under the hood is using KVM and QEMU, we're going to use the QEMU guest profile. This basically just includes all the hardware configuration. This basically replaces your hardware configuration file for a VM for the most part. You still need to define some volumes and things like that, but all of your drivers and everything you get with this. And then we can just right turn on the QEMU guest service. This is nice when you're running in Proxmox or any other QEMU hypervisor because it... most importantly, it allows for safe shutdowns, right? So that's really nice. It also reports some metrics and state and other things like that, like the IP addresses and stuff that's useful to see from the hypervisor. Perfect. So what goes in our VM-specific configuration? We want to enable the bootloader. That's nice, because then we can roll back to a previous config. I don't like to have a lot of extra volumes in my VMs. I like everything to just be on one volume. So I use this Node V setting for the bootloader, so it's just on the boot drive. It's not on a separate volume or device or anything like that. EFI or, yeah, let's just keep it simple, right? This is the most important thing to put in all of your VM configs. I leave this out sometimes and it always bites me. What this does is it automatically resizes the partition when you reboot the VM. So if you resize the volume underlying the partition, right, NixOS will see that when you boot up and it'll take up the space that you gave it. I tend to start some VMs right with very small volumes, like 8, 10 gigabytes, and then if you're using it as a Nix build host, that can get filled up really, really fast if you're not garbage collecting the Nix store, right? So just like always keep that on as a safety net in case you need to increase the size of the volume and recover from something. This is the other most important part that goes in all of my Nix configs. This is what allows remote updates. So basically what we're saying is like let users other than root apply updates remotely so that we can use just a regular sudo user. And then we're just enabling Nix command and flakes, which is useful for remote updates. Once we've got that enabled, we can do this. This is completely replaced like 90% of my Ansible commands. It's now just this, right? Update a Nix config and apply it. Okay, so let's get to something maybe a little more unique, not directly from the documentation. How do I manage the menagerie of hosts, right? I thought at one point I had, you know, maybe 20 or 30 NixOS VMs running. I've since simplified, but it's a lot to manage all of that, and you don't necessarily want like a flake for each one, especially if all of the hosts are kind of doing the same thing or are based on the same template. So I have this in my primary flake, and we're basically just iterating over every configuration file in a directory and turning it into a NixOS configuration that we can drop into our flake outputs under the NixOS configurations key. And then you can just drop any new file into that top level directory and get a new target, a new flake target. Speaking of flakes, right, I originally was kind of following some of the patterns that I see in other people's like dot files repos, and there are some really popular people's configs, right? And they tend to have this structure where you have like your users directory, your modules directory, your host directory, and they're all importing from each other. Now, that's great. I still use that pattern, like, for Nick's Darwin on my laptop, because I like to have everything in one repo for my actual work machine. But when I was managing a bunch of VMs, this started to get unwieldy because I would want to update maybe some file that was being depended on by all of these other files. And it would create breaking changes, or I would lose track of you know, which version of what I had used where. So the way that I deal with this now is I've split things out. My dot file secrets and users, that also contains like that repository. Each one of these circles is a separate repository, right? So that repository also contains my config for my actual workstations. But then I have a separate repository that has sort of my reusable modules and templates that I might import into a server-specific config. And then I have a whole bunch of repositories that contain host configs. And all of those import from the modules repository. Some of those import my users and secrets so that I can use those in the host configs. But I try to keep these separated by use case or domain in my life. There are a lot of different things that I do, a lot of different hats that I wear. And so a repo per collection of hosts, we'll call it. And then by importing those other two things as flakes, it allows me to version it. So if I update one of those upstream things, I'm not forced to update all of my hosts at the same time. I can do it, you know, whenever I have some other thing that I need to change. I was mentioning Nix modules. I think based on how people raise hands, everyone knows what this does. But just use these liberally. They're awesome. Make default makes it so you can override a thing. Make force allows you to override a thing that wasn't made default. One important note, as you sort of get a proliferation of Nix configs, and I didn't do this at first, I kind of had system.state version in my templates. Now, I still keep it in my templates because that makes them complete and I can build them and test them, which is nice. But also, like, do explicitly override this in every host-specific config. Otherwise, you will break things when you update a template and forgot that that host was using an older version of system state. And also, commit your configs. The NixOS generate command that we looked at on, like, the first slide, it does not put the configuration.nix into the image that it builds, or the outright, whichever format you choose, it's not going to put that configuration that was used to generate it into the output. So it's on you to save that somehow, like in your Git repository. So let's talk about workloads and how we get workloads into these repos. Services, right? This is just a really simple example of how we are, how we can use the module system, right, and use this make enable option to create modules. So rather than having rather than copy-pasting stuff between Nix configs, you can just throw anything that you ever do into a Nix modules repo like I showed, and then you can make it so that it can be toggled on or off. And then on all of your hosts, you just import that modules directory and toggle on the things that you want to be on. So this really saves you from having to keep track of like what code gets copied where, because it's just configuration, right? Like you're just getting back to that same simple way. So where's the line? We saw the services.qmu.enable earlier, right? This allows you to like create something that simple for your own custom defined services. And you can have variables, right? Like you can see up at the top, I've got some ports that I might allow myself to configure in the future. I sort of hoisted those in case I wanted to make those configurable. And we use similar concept for Docker services, right? So here's a Docker stack that uses that make enable option. And then if it's turned on, right, this code got kind of garbled. Sorry, that's hard to read. I'll upload a Git repo with better examples. This is similar, except that we're enabling Portainer with some specific options, right? And then we're actually defining it as an OCI container that then gets enabled. That's unfortunate. Okay, and then I said WireGuard. I'm actually using TailScale now, so it's WireGuard under the hood. If you do want to use WireGuard, there's some documentation on the NixOS website, right, that shows how to configure it. It's a lot. It's actually like 100 or so lines. So I would recommend definitely like just copy that into a Nix module and make it as easy as this, right? Services.tailscale.enable equals true. You can make your own little services.wireguard.enable equals true. Tailscale has this is another thing that just demonstrates the power of NixOS, right? Tailscale has pretty extensive documentation for how to set up like a router, right? So this is a thing that basically allows anything on the subnet that this host is on to be advertised to the rest of my Tailscale network or a WireGuard network. It's just that, right? Like, without all that config that varies depending on, you know, how your networking is set up, well, in NixOS, you can ignore all of the Tailscale documentation and just say use routing features both, which means it's going to forward and it's going to accept advertised routes from other hosts. Okay, so real quickly, in 1 minute, lessons learned. Like I said, I used to have a lot of hosts, and one of the things I kind of learned along the way was I needed to build all of these things for myself, right? And part of what I was trying to do was avoid using Kubernetes, but it turned out I accidentally built myself a Kubernetes. So keep it simple. I have since dramatically reduced the number of hosts just so that I don't have to deal with that much proliferation. And for actual production workloads, I'm actually moving away from VMs and just running NixOS on bare metal and keeping it simpler and not worrying about things like high availability, because it turns out that the biggest cause of downtime in my home lab is me messing with stuff. So the more I can separate things out into hosts that I just don't touch and they just do their job, better. And that gives me higher availability than a true replicated setup. You can use Proxmox VMs. I think those are great when you need to do a quick experiment. Nix micro VMs are great for a quick test of something. And containers are great for workloads where you don't actually care about security or segmentation, right? Because they're a lot lighter weight. Micro VMs and Nix are also pretty lightweight. When should I actually do this? When you have really tight coupling between the layers, when you're dealing with stuff that you don't really want to update often, like a Raspberry Pi that's like sitting in a closet. This is my home lab version of an Edge, right? When you want to do really quick experiments, right, at this point I've sort of developed like a whole host of templates and modules and things that I can really quickly turn on or off so that I can quickly test something against another tool. And for ephemeral VMs where it's like, I just need this thing to do a thing real quick. These are all great use cases for this. I don't think I have time for questions, but come to the osacom.io booth.
Anybody who has a really burning question on their mind?
Yes.
Yeah. Tailscale needs a secret to start, like a token.
Yes. So Tailscale needs a secret in order to get started. So I have an Ansible play that starts Tailscale with my secret that I'm still using, but you could also use something like AgeNix and actually encrypt the secret right in your Nix config.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah.